Hi everyone, happy Monday. Jenna here. Hope everyone had a great weekend. As many of you know, at Million Marker, we test for environmental toxins like BPA, phthalates, parabens, and many others. These chemical mimics our hormones, and which can interfere, confuse your body, and cause a number of issues. And BPA, phthalates, and other chemicals are just the tip of the iceberg. And heavy metal are another significant cause of concern. And then like a new report found that levels of heavy metals in spices, as well as other foods, could be actually high. And that's why we're invited Dr. Vivian Chan onto our IG Live today. She just sent me a request. I'm gonna go live. Dr. Chan always has amazing tips on her Instagram at plateful.health. Oh, hello. Hi, Dr. Chang.
Hi, Jenna. Is it okay to call you Jenna?
Yes.
Oh,
Thank you so much
you're
for
a
taking the
doctor
time.
too, right? So,
Not the actual medical doctor, so thank you
but
so
still
much.
very well respected.
Thank you so much for taking the time joining us. You have like a
It's a pleasure.
super impressive background. So tell us a little
Thank
bit about
you.
your educational background. What got you into health and wellness?
Of course. So I'm a UK trained MD. I now live in California, but I've traveled and lived in many different places. But I went to medical school in London and actually got board certified in both internal and family medicine. I practiced for 14 years before I decided to become more integrative and start addressing root causes in a more serious way. And that was when I moved to California 5 years ago. So, during my 14 years of practice, I started to burn out because it's a series of different events. But what started it all off was when my daughter was hospitalized when she was just 8 weeks old. She completely stopped feeding. Nobody could figure out what was wrong with her, including me. And she had a top team of pediatricians in London. And I had to do my own research to basically save my own daughter. She had to be tube fed in order to be kept alive. So I dove into the research, discovered all these things I didn't know. I didn't learn at medical school, started to wonder what else I had missed. And also around the same time, I realized I didn't feel like I was truly helping my patients because I had all these type 2 diabetic patients and patients with chronic diseases coming in, and all I could do was give them more and more medications. And then around the same time, so there's a lot of things that, all came together. My husband has had hypertension for a long time, diagnosed very early. And at that stage, I didn't know that lifestyle and nutrition could have such a big impact on your health. So, he was on medication, and when his doctor threatened to put him on the second medication because the first wouldn't control his high blood pressure, we started to really think about lifestyle. So all of these came together, and I had my own health issues. We could be talking for an hour just about that. But I'll save your listeners some time and just summarize that I had a lot of fatigue, gut issues, acne. And at the bottom, at the root cause of that was poor diet, environmental toxin. I had a very high toxic load, which I then passed over to my daughter. She had a cow's milk protein allergy. And when we kind of dove to the root cause of that and worked on it, she's now grown out of her allergies and touch wood, she's healthy.
Oh wow, that's really incredible. So
Thank
you
you.
mentioned about diet, and then you also have food as medicine approach. So what does that mean to you? Tell us about that.
Yeah, food is so powerful, and it's a shame that it's more not more talked about at medical school. We really doctors could do with more training in nutrition. I know myself, I got very minimal nutrition training, and it was mostly about deficiencies like scurvy and beriberi, which we really don't see any of that. We don't see that in the Western world. But we do see suboptimal nutrition leading to or contributing to chronic diseases. And I know you're an RD, so you're a lot more qualified to speak on that than me. So I really truly believe that, you know, we inherit our genetics, and it's kind of like the piano. We are pianos. We have the keys ready, but how we play that and how the music that we produce is, you know, that's our environment and that's our lifestyle, that's nutrition. So, you know, genetics play a role for sure, but it's not doesn't play the only role, and we have a lot more control than what we normally are led to believe.
That's really well said. I love the analogy of a piano and the set of keys. And we often also talked about you can't really change your genes, but you can really control your environment, and the environment counts so much more. It really pulls
Absolutely.
the trigger. So you talk about,
Absolutely.
could you talk about like the, you know, the power of food turning on and off genes and how that impact our health?
Yeah, it's such a fascinating area of epigenetics. So genetics just mean how your gene is expressed. So just like the piano keys that are there, how you play those keys to produce the music is epigenetics. And there's so much more research in that area that's coming out showing that how we live, and it's not just food, right? Food does it. Food can switch on and off genes. Food produces or provide the nutrients that the genes need to then transcribe and produce the effects that genes have in our bodies. But it's our lifestyle too, right? Meditation can actually help slowing the telomere reduction, where telomere is kind of like the cap at the end of our DNA. And the shorter your telomere, the more quicker your aging process, or the older your biology. So, you know, if we can slow down the shortening of our telomere, that can actually slow down the process of aging. And that's so incredible. So, you know, your biological age doesn't have to be your, you know, physiological age, right? So, it's fascinating.
So there's a lot of steps we can address that. So today we're going to talk about spice, because many practitioners believe that spice actually have quite a bit health benefits and then can be used in supplement to improve wellness. Let's talk a little bit about benefits of spices.
Yeah, I love spices. Spices are such a concentrated source of antioxidants. And to, you know, what you asked about switching on and off genes, well, spices contain these active compounds that can switch on and off genes, and they tend to switch on the beneficial genes and switch off the not so beneficial genes. So one of my favorites is turmeric. What can't turmeric do, right? It's like, what can it not do? It can support our brain health, it's anti-inflammatory, it, you know, helps us fight DNA damage and cancer. So many things. Liver detoxification, one of my favorite topics. And it's because it can switch on genes that protect our DNA, that you know, produce antioxidants in our body, and it switches off the inflammation genes. So it helps to lower inflammation in our body. It can also switch on and help us produce BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which helps support our brain growth and brain function. So yeah, just one spice can do all of that. It's so amazing. And you know, that's just one of my favorites. I also have other favorites like rosemary, which again can help liver detoxification, and it's also super powerful anti-inflammatory compounds. So yeah, I absolutely love spices.
So you had an IG post talking about the stats from the Consumer Report study that tested the 40 different herbs and spices and actually found high levels of arsenic, lead, and cadmium. 31 product had a level that's exceed the daily maximum. Do you know how this happened? Like, why do we have such high contamination?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I actually put that post together because I suddenly got so many DMs from people asking me, and they're so concerned. Because that was following a report from Seattle saying that there was a cluster of families who had lead poisoning from turmeric. So there was a lot of concern about spices, and I thought I would address that. So to answer your question about how these spices got contaminated, there's several places, and my post talks about that. But, you know, if you think about it, our Earth's crust naturally has heavy metals, right? So we're never going to be completely heavy metal free. Even if the world is unpolluted, we'll have some heavy metals in our food. And that's okay, because they're in such minuscule doses that our bodies detoxification system can manage, and it doesn't cause any issues because what we consume is detoxified, eliminated from our bodies, and it doesn't accumulate, and that's fine. But we're at a situation where there's so much contamination from industrial processes through pesticides. So pesticides, a lot of them have heavy metals, and when we spray the fields, they don't just disappear, because heavy metals don't disappear, right? They're recirculating on our Earth, on our planet. So, you know, it gets into our water supply, and then it goes up in the air, and it's, you know, it comes down as rain, it gets into our soil again, into the crop. So contamination can come through soil and water contamination, but also through the manufacturing process as well, is what is understood to be the case. So, you know, the packaging, the tubing, what you're extracting or drying these herbs with can be sources of contamination. And with the turmeric poisoning, it was actually lead chromate that was being added to increase the vibrancy, the color of turmeric. It was added deliberately to make it look brighter. And I think the report showed that it was kind of mostly the I think turmeric from Bangladesh was a major source of issues. But even when it's not being added, there's still detectable lead, and they just vary. And a lot depends on where you're sourcing, where you're growing. So soil, and I'm super passionate about supporting farmers who do the right thing, because these farmers, they really look after the soil. And when they look after the soil, the food has a lot more nutrient, and it just tends to be lower in these types of contaminants.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What are some potential dangers of these heavy metal exposures?
Wow. How long do we have? No, I'm just joking, because I don't want people to come away from this scared and living in fear, because that's really not helpful. And that's actually going to switch on,
right?
You know, not very good genes, right? The stress and the worry. So what you need to remember is not that, you know, you're not going to eat one dose of turmeric and start to have symptoms of lead poisoning. That's not how it works, right? Because we consume these things in very small quantities. So with any contaminants or toxicants, you're thinking about how much there is in the food, what concentration it's present in the food, right? And then you've got to think about how much you're consuming and how frequently you're consuming it. So it's, you know, you, when you're looking at all of that, you're taking in an overall exposure, your overall burden, and you really got to look wider than just food and spices as well, right? Because you're most likely going to get more risk of lead exposure through your drinking water than spices. And it, you know, it probably will be, you're going to, because of how much water you're drinking, you're going to be exposed to a higher concentration overall. So I think it's important to stay cool, keep calm when you see these sensationalized reports coming out, like, oh my God, there's lead in this and there's, you know, we do need to be aware of these things so that we can do better. But don't be scared into like thinking, oh my gosh, there's nothing I can eat. I might as well just, you know, even water I can't drink, right? So it's important to like take that overall assessment and look around and see what you could be doing to reduce your overall exposure. And I always love to say, you know, worry about what's within your control and don't stress and worry about what's outside of your control. We all have to eat food. What's within our control is Okay, if I'm eating a lot of turmeric, maybe I look for one that tests low for lead, right? But if I don't eat a lot of turmeric and I only eat it once a month and I only eat a quarter of a teaspoon, yeah, it's probably not going to do you any harm, right? So focus on the things that you eat a lot of, what's in your control.
Right. That's also the exact same approach when people test for BPA phthalates using our test is we also let them know, yeah, don't get too overwhelmed one step at a time. And you don't have to
Right.
throw away all your product all at once. Just the
I
next
love
time you
that.
buy something, then buy something better so
I
you
love
don't
that.
get a higher exposures of these things.
Exactly. And have you had anyone that doesn't test positive for BPA?
Across the
Just.
board. Right, across the board, everybody tests have some levels, but
Right.
there is definitely variations between people. The ones that using better product, eating out less, drinking less canned drinks or canned food, we definitely see lower levels. And it's also
Right.
quite empowering when people actually change their lifestyle and
And
come
see that
back and get
drop.
tested, see that drop, and it's quite empowering that, hey, this is actually paying off.
Love that. I love that.
Yeah, so how can a person avoid heavy metals then?
Avoid having, well, we can't. All right. Don't aim to avoid it 100% because you're just going to get super stressed out. There's lead in, cacao, tea, juices, protein powders, mushroom powders. I mean, the list goes on and on, right? So we can't get away from it, but what we can do is to reduce our exposure. And at the same time, what I really promote is to use food, everyday food, to support our detoxification processes so that, our bodies can eliminate what we can't control, right? So that we're not in that situation of fear, worry. I'm at a place where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do what I can, but there will be certain circumstances where I can't control everything, and that's okay because my body will take care of it for me. So I would say look around and see, where your biggest exposures may be coming from in terms of heavy. So those are the foods that I listed. Like, let's say you drink, 5 cups of matcha. That's a little bit extreme, but drink a lot of matcha. And matcha is where we consume the whole leaf, right? So if there's lead in that leaf, it is important to know. Whereas if you drink green tea, which is steeped, you're gonna have lower lead in that cup of tea compared to matcha. So if that's the case, then ask the company for a COA and look at how much you consume and calculate your overall exposure. So that's what I would say.
100%. That's when people ask us also the detox tip of these chemicals. We also ask them to think about what's that one product that you use all the time, any large amount. That would be the first one to check and making sure
Exactly.
that product is good.
Yeah. So I would say, think about your water first before you even go into spices, right? Or protein powders. Are you drinking tap water? What is in your tap water? Right? You can find that out on the EWG website. If you Google tap water database EWG, you can just literally put in your zip code if you live in the US, and it will tell you a breakdown of contaminants found in your tap water. Start there. And then, look at the food that you eat a lot of. And then I will move on to personal care products. But, like you said, it's one step at a time. It's not, you don't have to do everything in one go.
Right. There is another company that does water testing,
Oh,
TapScore.
yes.
You can
Yes, I
also
like them.
purchase their like a water test to figure out what
Yeah,
exactly
they're
you eat
very
water.
good. Yeah, definitely. I highly recommend them. Yeah.
Right. So what you mentioned about some brand actually tests for heavy metals in spices. What are your favorite brand that actually does this type of testing?
So with spices, honestly, before this latest consumer report, what was on my radar was this turmeric, because there's so many case reports of lead poisoning from turmeric that I am careful about it because I eat turmeric every single day. So I asked the two that I'm aware of that test. One is called Diaspora, and the other one is Burlap Barrel. Both of them test acceptable levels, so within the kind of daily consumed amount, which is like half a teaspoon, you're below the Prop 65 level, which is very, very low, right?
Right.
Almost impossible for anyone overall to stay under Prop 65 for lead, because we're, you know, just quarter of a teaspoon of turmeric can put you like at 50% of that level already. And then you're thinking about all the other foods that you consume, right? So don't, I wouldn't aim to go, stay below that, because I think you'll be very, very stressed out. But, you know, the FDA, I think for adults is 12.5 micrograms, whereas Prop 65 is 0.5. It's a huge difference there. So if you aim for the FDA limit, and also the limit depends on what health effect you're looking at, right? Mm-hmm. Because the Prop 65 limit for cancer, I think it's 15 micrograms per day, right? Whereas for reproductive. It's 0.5. So, you know, if you're a woman of childbearing age or you're actively trying, then, you know, you want to be aiming more towards the lower end. Whereas if you're not, then maybe there's a lot more flexibility. Those are the two brands that test for in turmeric. Now, for other spices, I think it's going to be hard, because I don't, you know, up until this report came out, I don't think anyone knew that oregano and thyme tested so high, right? Like, we don't really know at this point why that is. Is it because the plant takes up these contaminants from the soil more than the other types of herbs? Or is it because of the processing, the drying process? We don't know yet. But, you know, those are two herbs that are super easy to grow in your garden. So I don't buy oregano thyme. So I grow my own.
That's really a good tip too, to grow your own herbs.
So then you don't need, then you're cutting out all the processing, the packaging, and, you know, drying and all of that. We're still stuck with soil issues, possibly. But, you know, that's a lot less than, you know, when you're thinking about like the manufacturing process, right?
Right. It probably tastes better too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's so different. Like, fresh herbs and spices is just, it's in a different world, right? Especially, and also even dried herbs and spices. So Bullock and Barrow, I have no affiliation. Like, it might sound like I have shares in the company. I really don't. But their herbs and spices just are so, they're dried, but they're so fragrant. They just, you know, you only need a little bit and it'll just bring your food to life. It's amazing how, when you source properly, the taste is so different. So all of their spices are single origin, whereas you know the bigger companies, they source from a variety of different farms, right? And oftentimes it's like scraps from this farm, that farm. They have no quality control, basically. That's my favorite.
Yeah, I actually heard like a podcast on the founder of them, and they specifically said they really pay attention on the quality of their spice and they do testing. So it's really awesome.
Yeah.
It also tastes,
I think,
super
somebody
good.
Asked whether Bullock Barrel is organic. They are not certified USDA organic. That certification is actually really expensive. So, you know, they work mainly with small farms. And I think, you know, just the certification is going to bump up the price of their spices so much. I actually, you know, I buy my fresh produce from a farmer who I know. I speak to her and I know how she farms. She's not certified organic, but I still buy from her. I think it's important to support local farmers who do the right things.
Right. Somebody also asked where to get water testing. It's a Simple Lab is a company. Simple Water or Simple Lab is where you can purchase a kit and get your water tested. Cool. Next question. So we talk a lot about heavy metals. So how can a person detox heavy metal out of their body?
So it can be really complicated with heavy metals, right? Because our bodies are very clever. When the level of heavy metals start to exceed like dangerous levels, the body wants to hide it away from major organs. So it doesn't want it in blood, where it can travel to all the different tissues in your body. So it starts to hide it in like tissues and bind it so that it's not actively, you know, in your bloodstream and impacting major organs. So the cumulative exposures may not show up in blood tests, and then they're bound in tissues. So what you want to do is actually lower your overall burden, first of all, because when you're lowering your burden, then the detox organs can start to catch up. And when it starts to catch up, it's kind of like that gradient, right? So like when your blood level drops, then the tissue levels start to come out and start to be detoxified. So that's the first place to start, is to, before you even detox, minimize your exposure, do what you can. And then you want to be looking at, well, how does the body eliminate toxins, right? If you get to those super complex medical levels, MDs are using things like chelators, right? DMSA to bind their chelators. They bind to heavy metals and kind of pull them out of tissues. The idea is that then sends it to the detox organs like kidneys, the gut, the liver to be exposed off. Eliminated. But what if your kidneys, your liver, your gut are not functioning properly? You get a backlog. Your chelators might be pulling onto your heavy metals in your tissue, bring out of hiding, but then your kidneys are not optimized to eliminate them, right? And heavy metals, things like mercury, cadmium, can impact your kidneys. So it's really important before you even think about like going to chelating to support those pathways. So you want to be eating foods that support your kidneys, support your liver, and you got to be pooping every day. If you're not pooping every day, you can't eliminate your heavy metals, because a lot of it is coming out through the poop, it's coming out through the kidneys, and sweating is actually a really good way, especially I think the study found for cadmium is really good. And cadmium is found in things like soy, in cacao. Make sure you're pooping every day, sweating every day, and eat nutritious food. You want to be getting your cruciferous veggies in to support your liver and support your kidneys with drinking lots of clean filtered water.
That makes a lot of sense. Do you know any other food that you're aware of that also tested high in heavy metal, other than spices?
Yeah, so I mentioned them earlier. This is the point where you can start to feel really overwhelmed and scared. But, there was the report that came out a couple of years ago, I think, about fruit juices, baby food. So arsenic and rice is a concern. With protein powders, you're thinking about lead, cadmium, cacao, lead and cadmium, matcha, there's issues with lead. What else is that? Medicinal mushrooms. Mushrooms are kind of like sponges. They like to soak up what's in the environment. So if the environment's heavily contaminated, it goes into the mushroom. What else is that? Fish, seafood, a source of heavy metals. So I think those are the major ones.
This is so much information. And you have like so many really informative guides on your website as well as your Instagram account.
Thank you.
So we want to make sure people follow you and then get more information. But you also have like a consultation service. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. So I now help people address the root causes of their health issues virtually. So I do that on Zoom calls. And because my time is so limited with these one-on-one, I spend initial consults take 1.5 hours, because that's how long it takes to actually listen to them instead of like rushing, right? And then getting to the root cause. And then my follow-ups are, anywhere between 30 minutes to 1 hour. So I can only fit a certain number of people into my day. So I created a course to teach about how to support your detox organs the right way. So it's called Detox Right, because it's not about using, jumping into all these supplements and products that you can find, detox products, most of them don't do anything. So I actually teach how the body detoxes so that you can use the right lifestyle and food to support it. So that's all on my website.
That makes a lot of sense. As you mentioned, if you don't have a lot of support for your organs to detox, you might actually cause more damage.
Precisely. And I see that all the time. That's why I mention it. I have clients who come to me, they detoxed, they took detox products for, lead or whatever, but their, elimination organs are blocked. So the lead is coming out now into the bloodstream, but it's not exiting the body. And you're actually getting a temporary high lead level, which then leads to, dizziness and the symptoms of lead poisoning. And it's dangerous. So yeah, always make sure your detox organs are optimized first before you jump into any active detoxing.
Wow, I feel like we can talk forever. We want to invite you back on, talk more about epigenetic, and you mentioned
I would love
telomere.
to.
I'm fascinated with telomere, so we're gonna
Yes.
have to
Are
have another
you
session
based
talking
in
about those.
the Bay Area?
Yes, I'm in Berkeley.
Oh wow, I love Berkeley. I go to Berkeley all the time. That's great. So yeah, maybe we can meet in person one day.
Would love that. I'm gonna
Yeah.
have definitely follow up. So
Yes.
thank you so much for sharing all this information with us today. And
Thank you
then
for
thank
having
you.
me.
Yeah, and thank you everyone for joining, and be sure to follow Dr. Chan at plateful.health.
Thank
And
you very much.
then like if you're interested in any followers interested in Dr. Chang's service, make sure you go to playfulhealth.com, or we also have all the information in the LinkedIn bio.
Great. Thank you so much.
No, thank you so much. Talk to you
Thanks,
soon.
everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.